More money, it turns out, means you likely live longer. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. We're starting with eye-opening new information on the link between income and mortality. This morning in the medical journal JAMA, researchers find the gap in life expectancy between the richest 1% and the poorest 1% is 15 years for men and 10 years for women, and that gap is widening. That means low-income Americans live roughly as long as people in a poor nation like Sudan. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Over the last 15 years, life expectancy grew for the top 5% of earners by as much as 3 years. It barely budged for the bottom five. Despite that finding, this paper is less about the disparities between the rich and the poor than it is about the disparities between the poor and the poor.
In New York or in San Francisco, you're living something like 5 or 6 years longer than comparable people, say, in Indiana or in Oklahoma.
Raj Chetty is an economist at Stanford and lead author of the paper. For decades, researchers have thought employment, pollution, and access to healthcare have been the prime drivers behind the disparity in mortality rates among low-income citizens. Harvard economist David Cutler, one of the co-authors, says this paper shows those factors are less important than individual behaviors.
Smoking, drinking, obesity, overdoses of drugs.
The team found the lowest rates of life expectancy stretch from West Virginia through southern Ohio, dipping south to Oklahoma and Texas. The underlying research is available to the public with the hope that others will ask, why are health behaviors among the poor so much better in some places than others? Cutler says there's an urgency here. He says every last dollar you make or don't make matters.
You might have said, gee, there's some upper income at which money can't buy you more, so therefore there must be some limit. We don't find one.
In other words, the person earning $6 million a year will live longer than her neighbor earning five. The same, says Cutler, is true in the reverse. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is flat, up just a hair. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. The publisher of the British newspaper The Daily Mail is considering a takeover of Yahoo in conjunction with private equity firms. Yahoo's been under pressure from shareholders to turn the business around. The Daily Mail and Trust Group says that discussions are just starting. Here's the BBC's Ramzan Karmali.
The interest from the owners of the Daily Mail in Yahoo doesn't necessarily mean a transaction will take place, and in fact no firm details have emerged. According to the Wall Street Journal, where the news was first reported, the Daily Mail and Trust Group's bid could take two forms. One option would see the private equity firms buy Yahoo's core web business, with the Mail taking over the news and media properties. In another scenario, Yahoo's news operations would merge with the Mail's. Yahoo has seen sales halve over the last 10 years, but in contrast, the Daily Mail Online is seen as a success, as the most visited English language news website in the world.
That's the BBC's Ramzan Karmali. Gas prices in America, even though they're bumping up, are still pretty low. But that's nothing compared to Venezuela, which basically gives gas away for free. Even as the economy in that petrostate has collapsed with low oil prices and other problems, gas is highly subsidized, which leads to many things, including smuggling. Marketplace's Scott Tong is just back from a reporting trip to Venezuela. He's got the latest in our occasional series called Resource Curse.
On the road to the Colombian border, my colleagues and I go looking for Venezuela's bootleg economy. But then, it finds us. Needing gasoline, we notice that the filling stations have four-hour lines. Then a mechanic turns up with half a tank to resell us for the regular price times 50. We buy. And as he fills our tank, he explains that the cars in line are all smuggling.
A lot of people are in this business because it's so cheap. Most of these drivers here are dedicated smugglers.
Why? Well, the oil economy here is cratering and folks are desperate. Price controls make it easier for people to buy low, cross over the border, and sell high. And Venezuelans want foreign currency, anything but the local bolivar, which is plunging. The key at a time like this, says Johns Hopkins economist Steve Hanke, is to join the informal sector.
Where someone is going to be slipping you dollars instead of bolivars, because If they slip you bolivars, you have to run as fast as you can to the black market and unload those before they lose their value.
By Hanke's measure, the Venezuelan bolivar is the most troubled currency in the world. Last year, it fell 80% against the dollar.
As a result of that plunge in the currency and its loss of value, you generate a tremendous amount of inflation, around 400% per year, and that is the highest rate in the world.
To stop smugglers, the government recently closed the border. But in the town of La Fria, it doesn't look like it. A teenage boy in a yellow Colombia national soccer team shirt offers to bring us over by boat for $3. We decline, but it's that easy. A local businessman explains that everyone here gets a cut from smuggling, perhaps including him because he doesn't give his name.
If you're a driver and fill up too often, you pay the gas station attendant some money, so he gets some. At the border, the guerrillas and militias get protection money. They say, we control this territory, so they collect 10 or 15%.
And there's more. Migrant worker Michelle Suarez says she has hitchhiked on smuggling trucks that pay off soldiers at local checkpoints. It's not just gasoline they're smuggling. She says price-controlled food and medicine, also missing from supermarket shelves, they leave the country by the truckload every day. In La Fria, Venezuela, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.